And if you'll find your seat there, I appreciate Revelation chapter 13 in your Bible. And then also, we'll want to go over to 2 Thessalonians as we get started there, but we'll do that in just a second. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, if you have your prayer bulletin there, be convenient and helpful. You might turn it over on the back, and you'll see a little bit of an outline of what we're looking at tonight. And here in the summer, we're looking at a series entitled, Where Will It All End? Well, I tell you what, this world is seem to be turned upside down. So many strange things happening, unbelievable things that are going on in society. Never thought that we would have people in the Congress of the United States that would want to turn America into a socialist nation. That's incredible. And why are all of these things taking place? What is going on? Why the violence? Why the unrest, not only here in America, but literally across the world? Well, where will it all end? It's about the Lord's return, and it's about God closing out things on this earth. Revelation chapter 13 is where we are tonight. We looked at the nation of Israel. You can't understand prophecy if you don't start with Israel. You have to understand what God is doing with His chosen people. He hasn't forgotten them. He made a covenant with them. And if He'll break that covenant, He would break it with you and I. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember as an 8.5-year-old boy crying out to God with faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and God forgave me of my sins, saved me. And, I took God at His word. Well, Israel, there's a covenant God's made with them. And God says in Romans 11, He's going to keep that covenant. And so if you understand that, you're going to understand a lot of the things that are happening in the world. Let me say it again. The Bible teaches that in that covenant God made with Abraham, that the nations of the world that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. And we talked about the fact that in this brief moment here in our country, we're enjoying one of the most prosperous times that our nation has ever enjoyed. We literally have about the lowest that unemployment can get. It's amazing. And folks are prospering. It's hard to find people sometimes to do work because they're so busy. They have so many options, and a lot of jobs are going unfilled. That's unheard of. It was just a few years ago where you didn't see any signs help needed because there wasn't any need for the... Why that changed? Well, we've talked about it. It could be that we had 8 years of recession and that we've come out of that recession, and everybody that had put off buying a refrigerator and a set of tires and a new car and some new clothes all at once said, I think things are better, and they've gone and done it. But I think it's much more than that. I believe there's a change in attitude and philosophy toward the nation of Israel, and that God is blessing the United States because of that spirit. But we still in our society, more than ever before, an anti-Israel, anti-Jew sentiment across the country. What is that? That's the spirit of the Antichrist, the person that we're looking at tonight. And the second thing that we looked at was the issue of the rapture and the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back for us. That's on our... that's what we're looking for. That's what our job is to watch and to wait. And we want to do a good job. We want to be ready for the Lord Jesus to come. I mentioned when I was in school, I hated the teachers who gave pop tests. I was pretty good at memorizing. And so I would wait until the night before the test, memorize everything, go in and do great, But I always hated that teacher that figured that out. And they would give a pop quiz. But the Lord isn't telling us when Jesus is coming. And so He wants us to watch and wait. That's extremely important. Then we looked at the one world religion, the ecumenical movement across the country has been alive for decades and decades, goes back a long way, over 100 years. The religions of the world are coming together in one religion, and part of the old satanic trinity will lead that one world religion. But we talked about how I mentioned Brother Gurganus, who was with us several times, a wonderful man of God, spent 25 years in Bangladesh, wrote a book on Islam and his belief that Islam is that one world church. And of course, I was always raised thinking that Catholicism, that was the one world church. But it is interesting that the fastest growing religion in the world is Islam, and that it's overrunning the countries of Europe where there is this huge void. Most folks don't believe anything. And so this void is being filled there. So we've looked at those things together here, and here in Revelation 13 we want to look tonight at the Antichrist. The Bible says in 13:1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." And here Revelation, the dragon's the old devil. And what's being pictured here, God's giving us a picture in Revelation 13, in verse 1, of the Antichrist, the person who will be the great world ruler here in the end times. Down to verse 3, it's interesting that three times in this chapter, verse 3, verse 11, verse 12, the Bible says that the Antichrist will be killed and he will rise from the grave. He'll rise from the dead. And, of course, it's a mockery of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The devil is an imitator of everything that God does, and the Antichrist will do that during tribulation. Verse 3, it says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Why not? Down in verse 11, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake of the dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." And verse 13, "He doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." And down in verse 4, he is going to welcome the worship of the world. They worshiped the dragon and gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him, verse 7, to make war with the saints. These are folks that are going to get saved during the tribulation period. That's a different crowd. That's not a part of the church. You know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, all those left behind series stuff, that doesn't fit what the Bible teaches about those folks. You know, they are, it's a different group. They're not a part of the church. The church has been raptured out, the day of grace, and the way God is dealing in this hour. But there will be many, one of the great times of evangelism on the earth, people receiving the Lord. But down here, they will pay a price. There's going to be a war with the Antichrist, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. And let me read verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Well, put a marker there, chapter 13. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for just a moment there. And let's read another of the great portions of the New Testament that have to do with the Antichrist. And the folks at Thessalonica, they were all up in the air. People had died. Their loved ones died in Christ. They wanted to know where they were, what part would they have in the return of Jesus. Had Jesus already come and they missed it? They had a lot of thoughts. And somehow today we have God's complete revelation here. They didn't have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians until God moved in the heart of Paul and he picked up his pen and some parchment and began to write these folks under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But we have it, and so some of their thoughts seem kind of strange to us. But let me read just a little bit. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man, and by the way, day of Christ is shorthand in the Bible for the rapture. So when you come across day of Christ, it's shorthand in the Bible for the rapture. And down to verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, that's the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple. Remember, he was in Revelation 13 receiving the worship of the world. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that has to do with Bible word means to hinder, right? Will let until he be taken out of the way. And in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. By the way, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the church age. That's the day of grace. And when God calls his people out, that church age ends. Something else is going on this earth. And there will be folks saved. But those are folks that will end up in the millennial kingdom on this earth. And but down in verse 11, it's important. We sure believe this, that if somebody's heard the gospel, they're not going to respond to the gospel during the tribulation period. It says in verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All right, let me mention a few things. I the idea of a one world government across the whole entire world used to seem incredibly foreign to me. And then something happened. I think I mentioned it maybe last week on Wednesday night when 9/11 took place. And during a normal school day, Ms. Larson was our office manager in those days, and she came in to my office and said, Pastor, something's happened. I think you ought to know. And I said, what? And she was explaining that her daughter had called her, and apparently some plane had crashed into a building in New York City, and it was very bad. And that was before the second plane had hit the building there. And, well, I tell you what, we turned on the radio. It was terrible. It was awful. Everybody in shock. But one of the things that happened after that was that a lot of changes took place in the United States of America. But as people surveyed and talked to Americans, it was pretty clear that number one in the mind of every American was security. I want to be secure. I don't want to lay my head at night and think that some plane is going to crash into my home or go up a skyscraper in a major city in the United States and somehow lose my life, have to choose between burning alive or jumping out of a window. I'm for security. And even if I have to give up my freedoms, I will do it. Boy, when I read some of those things that people said, and it wasn't just one. There were tens of thousands of people who said those kinds of things. I thought, wow, isn't that the very spirit that will take place, that will draw the people of the world together? Tremendous insecurity. Tremendous chaos and problems. And people saying, listen, we need someone who can restore peace. We want to pick up our lives. We want to buy and sell. We want to have fun, eat, drink, and be merry. We want to do those things, and we don't really care about these freedoms. They're old, Those were done by founding fathers a long time ago. I would give up some freedom to lay my head and be secure at night. And wow, there is coming a person. They may be on the news tonight. You may have seen their face, and who will come on the scene and will bring that security that the world craves. And people are that way in Britain. They're that way in France. They're that way in Australia. They're that way in Kansas and over here in South Carolina for the most part. But anyway, one world government, one world religion. Wow. As you watch Islam, and it's kind of scary. I read just a few weeks ago some of the things that a man who was not a Muslim, who was high up in Saddam Hussein's government and in the military there, in his Air Force. He was one of the greatest pilots in their country, and he spoke about the fact that Americans don't understand. We don't understand what's going on in Iran right now. We have the idea that the folks in Iran would really like to negotiate and have peace. But that's not the truth at all. That's not the heart of Islam. Islam is convert or die. You will either be, you'll give a choice, you can convert, you can become Islamic, or you will die. And the very heart of the Quran is that, listen, you have to kill the infidels, and that movement is growing and into a great one world religion. And then I also think of the didn't read it there, about the mark of the beast. And we should have, down to verse 16, and he causeth all those, this is Revelation 13:16, and he causeth all those small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I used to read that, and I would think, who in the world? I can remember when barcoding became the thing, you know, and it's so great, isn't it? A little barcode there. Today I was at Lowe's, and I was having trouble with big 5-gallon paint that we needed around here, for some of the maintenance. And I was thankful when the lady came over at the self-serve register over there, and she couldn't get it to work. I thought, thank you, Lord, I'm not an idiot. I'm so thankful. And so she had to do what anybody else would do. She said, leave that one alone. Let's go over here. And so we went on one she knew worked, and it worked. And that barcode. But, you know, they have those little chips. And you put them in your dog, so that if they, you know, you lose them, you can find them. And be so easy for, in the chaos that is continuing to grow across the world, that people will look. I mean, almost every day someone in America disappears. Here in South Carolina, we've had several this week disappear. And we want answers. We want to find them. We want to rescue them if someone has kidnapped them. And those little chips, very small thing, put here in your head or in your hand. And in fact, we're probably not too far away, aren't we, that people will accept that. We have a chip in our card. And, you know, I remember the first time I used that chip. How do I do that? Let's see. How do you do it? Oh, okay. Slide it in there. And all that information was on that chip. But it won't be long. It'll be in people's hands. I used to think in my mind, how in the world could the Antichrist and a world government literally close down commerce? And I love internet banking. I love using my phone to deposit checks. I love setting up all my bills and payments, and it's so great. I need cash less and less and less. But every once in a while I think, you know what? If someone shut down the internet, if I could not get access to the internet, I'd be sunk. And so would you. And we're at that point where the Antichrist will be able to say, listen, to live, you'll have to put the chip in your hand. And if you refuse, you won't have access to your money. You won't have access to anything that's online. And every day, more and more and more is that way. Look at number one on that sheet. I'm going to go as fast as I can. I hope that you've heard all of these things. Maybe you'll hear some things you hadn't heard before. But number one, the heart of what's going on with the Antichrist is confusion in the world. Confusion, more division. There's a feeling, I hope it's not true, but it does feel that way, doesn't it? That America is more divided than it's ever been before. And that with our allies, we're more divided. And a lot of people want to blame that on certain politicians. I wouldn't blame that on any politician. I would blame it on the fact that we're approaching the end. We're approaching the revelation of one of the great figures in history. He's called the Antichrist. We don't know his name, but we may know him. We may know his name. We just didn't realize it. It'll be here a time of stress and disorder, violence, war, a time of incredible evil, and a time where among God's people there will be less and less and less. The Bible compares the return of Jesus Christ to the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And remember, it got to the point that there was one gentleman on the earth who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What does that mean? There's one fella that wanted to get saved. There's one man that was concerned about doing right, what pleased the Lord. And it came down to one family. And you blink, you watch how rapidly times change, and so violence and war and evil sounds a lot like America. And of course, the Savior is going to return for the church, which I don't know. I'm gonna be honest here. As I thought about preparing the message, I thought about that, and some people feel that here in the United States there are tens of millions of people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I would say this. Social media and places like that, seems like everybody on there claims the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder if they genuinely have been saved. They've genuinely been born again and been changed and become a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking that as Jesus comes, that, you know, I can remember seeing a picture that an evangelist had drawn of, and perhaps you've seen that picture of the rapture and people being caught out of cars and planes and wrecks taking place and plane crashes because the pilot is a believer and suddenly he's raptured out and the plane crashes. But it may not be like that at all. It may be so quiet that some nut over here that people knew as half crazy who named the name of Jesus Christ, that the one person in the whole state, and they get raptured out. The Bible says that when the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? I don't know. But my hope and heart and prayer is that the folks who say, hey, there are in America tens of millions of Christians. And if that happened today, there's a lot of jobs that would not be done tomorrow. There's a lot of folks out here that guard. We have a lot of fellows in our church that have tremendous responsibilities, and we have ladies that have tremendous responsibility in the hospital, and you know, they wouldn't be showing up. They wouldn't be showing up for work, and so the confusion of the world, perhaps the rapture of those, and then if you'll go to 1 John chapter 4, this always speaks to me here in the scriptures, and on Sunday mornings we're in the Answers Bible curriculum, and it's so important. I sure appreciate that. We have a lady in my Sunday school class. I appreciate it. If she's gone, and she had to be gone back a few weeks ago for a few weeks, and then she was back for a few weeks, and she had to be gone again. But when she gets back, I know what she'll say. I need this one, this one, this one, this one. She wants all the lessons. And praise the Lord, throughout our entire Sunday school, folks were working on the same thing, the same page, boys and girls and teens and adults, and we're trying to get a biblical view of life. What does God say? Because in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, 24/7 there is broadcast and sent out from hell the voice of the devil that says just the opposite of what God says. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, because they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit, this is 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Yeah. Wow, there's a spirit in this world that is anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-truth. The devil has been lying about God to man. Actually, before the garden, He was so effective that he caused one-third of the angels to fall and to follow him. And some of them are confined in darkness and chains awaiting judgment. Some of them are loose and doing his bidding. And people call them, in the New Testament, called devils. And we often call them in this day demons, even though that's not a Bible word. And he was so good at it. And he also was so good with man. In lying to him. And people are believing a lie. And it's just being broadcast and drilled into them. One of the things we were talking about on Sunday was dinosaurs in the Bible. They're Behemoth and Leviathan. It's right there in Job. They're right there together, isn't it? The Bible talks about those things. And what time to maybe take back those dinosaurs from the devil who's been using them to prove evolution and to indoctrinate people to a lie. So that's what's going on in these last days. And when the rapture takes place and they have that one world voice, it's going to make sense to every human being on this planet because they have been fully indoctrinated. They have the spirit of the Antichrist within them. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And so when hopefully, if we're right with God, we're not grieving or quenching the Spirit. When we hear the old voice of the world and the voice of the Antichrist, we say, that's foul. That's terrible. That's no good. Look at number two on that list. Say, who is in control here? Over in Revelation chapter 17. Would you go over there just real quickly, chapter 17, verse 17. This verse of Scripture always speaks to me. Nothing happens that surprises God. God knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows what's going on. And nothing is going to touch anybody's life that God does not have a purpose and have control over those things. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 17, we have the great people of the world, the great kingdoms of the world coming together under the auspices of the Antichrist. And it says here in Revelation 17, 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Oh. And to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, that's the Antichrist, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So who is ultimately in control? Why, the Lord is in control. Boy, the Lord isn't beaten back and said, oh, we got to take the world back. The devil's got control. The Antichrist is down there. No, the Lord took the church out for a reason. In fact, there's a few things on your sheet there. He has ultimate power. Satan empowers the Antichrist, but God is definitely more powerful. He is all-powerful and more powerful than the devil. And what is he doing? Well, God has put the limits on the beast. In fact, we read about some of those Revelation chapter 13. We read about some of those limits on him. It says in verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Not a day beyond what God says. And so 42 months there. Satan has empowered the Antichrist, but the Lord is the ultimate power. And what is he doing? Under number 2B, would you look there? Would you let those go through your brain for just a moment, your heart and mind? Number one, he is the one who limits the beast. He's not going to go a step beyond what God allows. And the Lord Jesus, he is judging a Christ-denying world. And he is pouring out his wrath. I'm so thankful the Bible says that we're not appointed to wrath in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And why is that? Because Jesus took our wrath, and God has been satisfied in pouring out his anger against our filthy sin. But Jesus has been judged for it, and he died. The wages of sin is death. But there's a whole crowd that through the ages has said, we'll not accept that. And God says, well, here's the beginning of my judgment upon you, and God's wrath is poured out upon this earth. And so this Christ-denying world. And then he's also in the process of restoring a wonderful spirit of humility and repentance to the nation of Israel, and to get them back where they need to be, and to bring together those 144,000 are Jews, that are going to be missionaries during the tribulation period, and they'll mainly be reaching Jews, right? And those are the folks that are going to go and take into the millennial kingdom and will serve the Lord Jesus as he rules with a rod of iron, according to the last chapters there, the book of Revelation. So he's going to restore repentance in Israel, and he's going to ready the world for the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You know, many times I have gotten excited about a political candidate, and I've thought, boy, when they get in power, it's going to be different. I mean, this is going to change, and that's going to change, and this, I mean, it's just going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And it seems like as much gray hair as I have, and I'm thankful for that, what's hanging on there, all right. And but as much as I have, I would come to the ultimate conclusion that God intends for us all to come to. No one can rule this world but Jesus. You know, there is no political leader. There's no one so savvy. There's no one with great ideas that can change things. Ultimately, it all seems to end up pretty much the same way. But the Lord is leading man to understand the reign of Jesus Christ. And hey, it's a joy to be a believer and to be ruled over by Jesus Christ today, isn't it? There's a wonderful peace and blessing. It's like starting a millennial kingdom before it ever starts. Wonderful peace and blessing and progress. And look at number three there. This person is an amazing human being. And, you know, I mentioned this to our Sunday school class, the group that meets here in the auditorium. And I mentioned to them several weeks ago that I just couldn't help but feel that as you study history and you look at World War II, that it only took place, 75 years ago. I know that seems like a long time, but, you know, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. But it was like a dress rehearsal for the end times, for these times that we're looking at here. A very charismatic individual comes to power just less than 20 years after the end, the humiliation for Germany of World War I and the horrors that took place there, and then the oppression that they felt as the other nations of the world wanted to punish them for what they had done. It caused tremendous economic hardship. And then a voice out of nowhere came, a very charismatic voice, and probably one of the most intelligent group of folks in the world, the German folks, amazing, you know, their abilities, their engineering, and I love to spend time with Brother Berlage, who comes each year, and I think they've bought a place over on Fripp. And so they hope to be here a lot more here, not just for a few weeks in the summer. And I just love to talk with him. His knowledge about insurance and finance, incredible. He has all kinds of advice. But they listened, and they followed, and they went to war. And then the ultimate end was those pictures that are always in my mind. As the Allies came and occupied Germany, and basically every major city was nothing but ruins. You know, you can see the pictures of planes flying over those cities, filming what was going on there. And then the pictures on the ground, just horrible what had happened to them. But a dry run for what the world will experience under the Antichrist. If you look at number three there, just quickly, the speeches, Daniel 7 and verses 7 and 8 speak about those, by the way, that he's able and sharp and able to use his tongue with tremendous power to sway men. And what is his purpose? Revelation 13, 5, he's going to sway people against God. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Yeah, there will be people saved during the tribulation, but the Antichrist will be bound and determined that that not happen and do everything he can to blaspheme and make fun of Almighty God. He'll use his power to deceive the world. And the great thing that will turn the world to him is that moment for a very brief period of time, according to the book of Daniel, that he will bring about a peace treaty between the Arabs and Israel, and the nations of the world will accept Israel, and they will feel safe, and the world will say, you know, it really was all those crazy nuts, those Christians that are now gone. They're the ones that kept us from being able to have peace. Isn't this great? And, of course, it's only for a brief period, and then he'll break that covenant, and he will seek to destroy Israel unlike anything the world has ever seen during the tribulation period, the closing days of the tribulation. If you'll notice his cruelty, I'm not going to go to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, but the Bible there speaks an interesting thing about the Antichrist making war with the saints. And we've read that here in Revelation, verse 7 of chapter 13, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Those are those that have trusted in Christ during the tremendous evangelistic efforts of 144,000 Jewish young men that will be sealed to take the gospel in every nook and cranny of the world so that everyone would hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Overwhelmingly, most folks glad to take a chip and to get security and get back to eating, drinking, and being merry, because we want to be secure, want to have a good life, and we don't care about those things. And so, the Antichrist will certainly deceive the world, and his cruelty to the saints. The Bible says in Daniel that he will wear out the saints. Do you know what that means? He'll torture them. He will take great joy in not killing them, but just torturing and torturing and torturing and then killing. His goal to destroy them, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, sworn enemy of God. And there in Daniel and here in Revelation, the Bible describes that he's a compilation of all of the worst of those great empires that we talked about a few weeks ago, that Nebuchadnezzar had that dream of, the time of the Gentiles, all of those different nations, the worst of them brought together. I know, got to close. If you'll quickly there, under number five, there's the spoil there. He will renege on this covenant with Israel, and he'll be slain, but he'll rise from the dead, and of course he will ultimately be destroyed by the return of Jesus Christ, the literal second coming of Christ, the rapture. He comes for the church, that's us, but he won't touch this earth. We'll meet him in the clouds. But the second coming, and Zechariah talks about that, Zechariah 14, his foot will touch the Mount of Olives, and the geography will be changed around Jerusalem, and people will see the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will set up an earthly kingdom, rule and reign for a wonderful 1,000 years. We've got to close. Matthew 5, would you turn over there as we finish? I appreciate you. I like all things about prophecy. It never gets old to me. I wonder, hey, is this person the Antichrist? I think I've mentioned here previously, I hadn't mentioned it in the last, this summer, but you know, one of my favorite preachers was Dr. Oliver B. Green, the Gospel Hour, and he wrote all kinds of books, and his voice is still heard on the radio, even though he's been dead for I don't know how many decades and been with the Lord. But, you know, Dr. Green always believed that Judas would be raised from the dead and that he is the Antichrist. He based that on the fact that Judas was the only person that was ever called the devil. He was called the devil. Jesus said he had 12, and one of them was a devil, and so he believed that. Many ideas, my own personal thoughts are that he's probably somewhere right now coming on the scene, and he'll rise to power very quickly. But Matthew 5, I have my devotions here today. This is a Sermon on the Mount. What should I be? How do I watch and wait? And there's some things that the Lord is interested in me. There are three things. One, he wants me to have a humble heart. He wants me to have a humble heart. But it says, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. Why would a person mourn? Because they're broken over the ways in which they have broken God's word and not done what they should have. And then verse 5, a meek. These first three of these attitudes that God wants from my heart is about humility. Are you humble tonight? I want to warn you that in God's list of things that he hates, number one is pride, a proud look. He hates it. Go over to Proverbs chapter 6. The second thing there is, down in verse number 6, he loves when I hunger after righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What's he saying after righteousness? Righteousness is doing right. And it's particularly doing right by others. God's a righteous God. He always does what's right. And He'll always do right by you. He'll do what's right. And God wants me to hunger to be and do the same thing. And then the Bible says down in verse 10 and 11, as we approach the end of the age, I don't think you're going to be very popular. You know, if you have a verse on your home, or you have verse on your bumper sticker, or you quote scripture there when someone brings up some issue. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." In fact, the Lord says in verse 13, how do I watch and wait? Do I just quiet and blend in? Now, hopefully, my testimony is a testimony of verse 13 of salt and light. And for you know, the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. In fact, the Lord says, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I believe there are many hearts that are curious. I believe there are many hearts that are open. They're receiving 24/7 the lies of the devil, the spirit of the Antichrist. And they're being set up so that when he appears, they'll say, this is it. He's speaking my language. I understand what he's talking about. It's like meeting a Christian in a strange place and start talking about the Lord. You find out they're saying, you're kidding me. This is wonderful. And you start sharing things about the Lord because you speak the same language. You have the Holy Spirit within you. The old devil is planting the spirit of the Antichrist in the hearts of men today. But what do I do? Well, I'm to honor the Lord. I'm to be salt, and I am to be light. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianist is coming. I appreciate Deborah tonight. She's doing a great job and playing for us here. She's getting our invitation ready. Can I ask you this question? If Jesus came tonight, would you go? Would you be raptured out of this place? That's what brought me to Jesus Christ. In our church as a boy, our pastor is teaching on prophecy. And I mentioned this as we started this series, sitting there, family barbecue, having a great time. My parents discussing some of the things that were said at church and talking about the scriptures. And I realized, hey, you know, my sister, she's saved. And my mother, she's saved. My father is saved. And our family, I'd be the only one left. I need to do something about that. And God opened my heart to the gospel. Perhaps tonight, as you think of these important issues, eternal issues, we're talking about if a person's heard the gospel in a service like this, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in payment for your sin, and receiving what Jesus did as your only hope of heaven. If you've heard that, your heart will be closed. The Lord said there in 2 Thessalonians, strong delusion being sent. Come on tonight and receive Jesus Christ. It's eternally too important. You may be here tonight and you're a believer, but you know, you're not waiting very well. You're not watching at all. There's not a spirit of humility. There's not a hunger for righteousness. And there's a lack of honoring the Lord so that your life can be light. Won't you come tonight? Use these front steps and these front pews. You come. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of God's people here tonight. Here we are, almost midsummer, in a heat wave. And Lord, I rejoice in their faithfulness. It's been a busy week and many things have gone on. And I just rejoice that we gathered in this place to look into your word. Lord, please, I pray that hearts would genuinely be receptive, that we wouldn't just go through the motions of maintaining a wonderful habit, being in church each time the doors are opened, but that, Lord, we would actually receive the word so that you can do something in our hearts tonight. For those that may not be saved, God, help them to step out. First note, first verse, for those that know Jesus, Lord, help us to examine our hearts. Are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Are we watching and waiting? Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.